Welcome to Timebender Talks, the ultimate destination for professional photographers. This weekly podcast is hosted by Peggy MacArthur, a certified professional photographer with over 30 years' experience and the creator of the Headshot Strategist Certification Program. Peggy interviews a diverse range of experts in business, branding, marketing, networking, and photography. So whether you've been doing this for years or you're just starting out, we've got you covered. Oh, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on our latest episodes filled with tips, insights, and lots of fun.
I am so excited to be here with Amy Lancey today. Now, a lot of people that I interview on my podcast, I don't know in real life, but I actually know Amy like in real life. So, and even though we only live, you live in San Diego County and I'm in Los Angeles, we don't see each other as much as we probably should. But anyway, and I live close to your parents, so I don't know why you don't come visit, but that's a topic for another day.
So, I know, Amy, I was thinking about that. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Tell me. You're thinking and feeling guilty.
I am. I was going to say, I was thinking about that last time I saw my parents. I was like, really? I have friends like Peggy who are in business the business world. And I did not let them know that I was going to be in town. So yes. But I did actually have that on my radar, so we will hang out soon.
All right. Well, at least we're going to hang out today on the podcast. So today we're talking about branding and marketing. And of course, this month's theme is really about trust. And you are a genius, a storyteller, and a listener. I think your superpower is listening, because it amazes me the things you hear between. I always tell photographers you have to listen between the words, instead of read between the lines, you listen between the words, and you do that. You're a genius at that. So tell us about you, where you're at in your professional journey, and, just tell us a little bit about Amy.
So Amy lives in the nexus of being intuitive and creative and analytical. And I find that the people I attract are the same way too. They love to have this huge vision. They love to create more things to go with the big vision. They feel it in their hearts. They take messages within themselves in order to figure out, does this have to do with my purpose? But also at the same time, they're very grounded in logic and data. And I know it's a weird combination, but it's a very grounding force, because it allows you to take the why and make it to the how. And that's the thing that people really struggle with a lot, is how do I actually make this happen? So I find that the people I tend to attract and hit all those three areas, and they happen to be in business. They happen to be usually service-based. They happen to want to take more of a leadership position in what they do. And the thing is that in order to get there, they have to effectively communicate what their vision is, and their story and how they got the vision there. But at the same time, it's an inside job, because if you don't feel confident in yourself, you're not going to feel confident in your vision.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true. Because if you feel like you're lacking, or you're not enough, or you're not sure what your vision is, then you can't convince me. You can't convince me if you don't even know yourself. That's really true. And I think that at some point in our life, all of us have felt that, insecurity, or maybe my vision is too big. Isn't that dumb? Maybe my vision is too big.
It's too big. No, I've had that same issue with myself. I'm like, it's just too big. And I'm not going to get there anytime soon, but it's just too big for me. It's like, well, if it was too big for you, why would you even get it in the first place? So it doesn't make any sense.
I think we have to remember that if it's our idea, then that's it. That's literally it. It is our idea. It's ours. We own it. It's we can do it. We can do anything. If it's, I like how you said turning the why into how. I think mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. like, I know why I want to do this, but how am I going to do it? And maybe that's the bit, it seems like a big step sometimes, but when you really, you know, oh no, I just have to pivot a little bit, you know, yeah. I always think of this and it's so relevant for photographers. I have like a health issue and I had to like do some strength training in my legs. This was maybe 10, 15 years ago to get some mobility back. And the trainer, the physical trainer that I was working with was like, wow, you really follow instructions well. It's those little tiny movements that make such a big difference. And I was like, yeah, I'm a photographer and these little tiny movements make a huge difference. And I understand that. But we have to take that to our business and our vision and our mission as well. Like those little tiny adjustments. Oh, I was right there. I just needed to move this much.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it made me think about, so I have two brands, Untold Story Enterprises, and the other one is the Milk Crate Mastermind. Well, before the Milk Crate Mastermind came to be, you know, I had this vision of someone standing on the milk crate in the public square and they're speaking the heart out. But the thing is that when I had that vision, here I was, instead of calling it the Milk Crate Mastermind, I was trying to play with different other names, like the Untold Story Sales Coalition. Like, it, honestly, that was a name that I threw out there. And people were like, what? That sounds like a co-op or something. What are you... what's going on here? And it didn't have the right energy. It didn't have the right feel, but just like that little adjustment, like you were talking about with adjustments, like that little adjustment to actually align the vision to the name, it, like, you know, we've been going for the last 2 years and it just, I can't imagine having any other name now. It's like, you know, that, like, what was that? The Sales Coalition? What the heck? That didn't sound right at all.
No. That's so funny. That's awesome. And yeah, we were talking before we went on camera. You were like, what is a time bender? Like, what, why did you pick that name?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, photographers control time. We capture time. And you're like, oh, okay. I guess I can kind of get that.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So why are you passionate about helping people find their words and find their story and move from that why to how? What made you passionate about that?
You know, there's a couple things why I'm passionate about it, and it has to do with my own story. So I was a speech delay child growing up. I didn't speak until I was 3, and then I had to go through 9 years of speech therapy. And I loved my speech therapist. I realized when I said I had to go through, it made it sound like it was torture. It was not. I loved my speech therapist. I have such a profound respect for speech therapists, but I think it just goes to show like how hard, how challenging it was to express myself with my voice for so long. And even just little things like saying he or she, I had to work on the enunciation of the pronunciation and the enunciation of them. And I recognized that there was a part of me that always felt like I wasn't heard. And, you know, I know that as I got older, that as I was embarking on the whole health journey myself, because I was an emotional eater. So what do you do when you're not heard? You emotionally eat. So I had health issues, right? I had health issues. I had to tackle them. And I recognized that because I wasn't heard in a lot of ways, because I didn't know how to be heard, my story stayed within me. And that was really what led to my own health issues. So I recognize that when we have a story within us, we may have health issues. We may have also, you know, the inability to go after what we really want to actually say what we really want. And so that's why communication and storytelling are so, it just lights a fire underneath me, because I know that when someone's able to express how they feel or what they really want, that's when magic can happen. That's when things can happen. But until we can get to that point, nothing can happen. And that feels really awful.
I think I kind of turned to photography for the same reason. I was a stutterer. So I too have a fond affection for a speech therapist. And I'm dyslexic. So reading and words still don't come naturally to me. So I think that through images is the way I could communicate and be seen and be heard is like, this is how I see the world. And I think that that was one of the driving forces. I don't think I did that consciously, but looking back, I can see how I really embraced the camera at a young age, because I felt like it was something that I excelled at. I was good at this and living in a world where I was failing, you know, the way that I was being taught, I wasn't, you know, I think Einstein said, if you judge a fish by the way he climbs a tree, he's always going to fail. And I felt like I was, you know, I was in that cycle. So it was something that not only I could excel at, but something that I could show, like, this is how I, this express myself. And I love, I think that's probably why you and I really connected, was your ability to take the emotions that I put into pictures and put those into words and help people really refine their story so they can communicate it. And, you know, if we're running a business, you're the one that said this, and I use it all the time. I know it was you that said this. Your resume shows, stop me if you know what I'm saying. I know I stole it from you. Your resume shows that you have, and I'm going to screw it all up because but basically as a photographer, your portfolio is your resume, right? It shows that you have that ability, but it's your story that people connect with. It's your story that shows that you can actually be hired. So a lot of times as photographers, we just put out our portfolio. We put up tons of pictures on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and all the places. Yeah. And we're like, look at us, we take pictures. And people are like, yeah, those are pretty great. But we don't use our words to convey that vision and say, hey, you know what? I can do this for you.
Right.
Move that in. And I think that's a key that we, you know, forget. And a lot of creatives forget those things that we have to express that. We have to show that. So when did you realize that the thing that you were passionate about could be your career? Like, you've been passionate about telling stories your whole life, but when did that, like, I'm going to do the milk crate. when did you realize you could actually do this?
Gosh. I just want to say thank you, Peggy, for remembering that one quote I said that one time. You just remembered it forever and ever. I believe it was your resume shows that you are qualified, but your story shows that you're the expert.
So. Thank you. That was it. The expert. Your story shows you are an expert. And you may have said that one time, but I've said it a ton of times. Why I went blank right then, I don't know.
That's all good.
Because I was like, oh my God, I'm quoting Amy in front of Amy, and I'm going to say it wrong.
That sounds very nerve-wracking.
But yeah, your resume shows that. Yeah, I love that. But your story shows that you're the expert.
Yes. You know, because
my story is I've done this for so many years. My story is I've helped so many people. My story is I've had this struggle in my personal life. My story, you know, all of those things. Exactly. Oh, so good, Amy. Okay.
No, thank you. Sorry. Now going back to the, when did I realize that this could be a career? So, so I mentioned earlier, I had health issues, and those health issues led me down a whole health journey. And it wasn't just a health, like a physical health journey, it was a spiritual health journey. And around the time, it was about 2014. I was looking at my career in science, and I was looking at what I had just gone through. And I was like, I could not have just gone through this for just me. Like, it just felt like there was something more to this. And so I had a lab manager at the time who was leaving us at my prior workplace. And she said she was becoming a health coach. And so I was curious. I asked her about it, And I enrolled in the same program that she was in when I was getting my certification. I got pregnant with my daughter, so that was interesting. And so needless to say that to jump from entrepreneurship to, to jump from side hustle entrepreneurship to full-on entrepreneurship took a few years because, you know, being a new mom and having that full-time job still on da-da-da-da. And so I tried having a health coaching business for 2 years and I failed at, and when I mean failed at it, I mean, I don't mean I did not accumulate tons of debt, luckily, but I basically paid people to be my clients. Like, that's not a good business model. Like, I did not know what it was like to receive money at all after those 2 years. And so I remember I had a business coach at the time and I was speaking with her in my car outside my work building. I was on the verge of tears and she was just like, Amy, how are you doing? I was like, I just feel like I'm failing. Like, I'm not trying to make fun of myself, but that's basically what I was saying. And she was like, well, let me just ask you something, Amy. You know, when your friends and family ask you for help, what do they ask you for help with? And I said, writing. I said, writing without even thinking about it, because writing was the way that I could express myself, even during the times when, you know, I had no speech issues, but I had confidence issues. And so writing was my outlet. And she said, writing, you have never said anything about writing. I was like, well, you never asked, but you know, but I know that when I had to go through the whole, like, what it means to have an online business, what it means to do marketing, because I came from the world of biology and academia, we didn't talk about those things. So I found that writing marketing copy came really easy for me because I was naturally a writer. And when someone says you just write like you speak, like, oh, that's easy. Right. So she was like, okay, I'm going to challenge you to go into, at the time, copywriting. And so I did. And I think after I changed over my website and my business cards, maybe a week or two later, I got my first two paying clients. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is what it's like for PayPal to give me money as opposed to me giving money to PayPal. Wow, this is so cool. And then a couple years later, I left my science job finally and pursued my business full time as a consultant, as a story whisperer, as someone who helps people with their marketing and their storytelling, as well as their internal communication with their team. So it's been a wild ride, but that's really how it all started.
That's really amazing. And I always love hearing people's story, how they, you know, came about, like, hey, I really like this and I'm going to make money in my zone of genius, what I love doing in my passion. Yeah. I guess I am really fortunate in the fact that I never had, and maybe it's fortunate, maybe it's just a different, maybe it's not fortunate. Maybe I would have learned more businessing stuff had I started out in the business world instead of just always, you know, doing this. But, you know, it's, we all have a journey and a different path. So it's always fun for me to hear, like, how it is. And it's funny that you were like, oh, writing, that's what I always help people with, but yet it had never occurred to you to turn that into money.
I mean, I had thought about it. Oh, here's the thing. I had thought about it for a little bit, but I didn't feel like I was qualified. And so I decided to stay on the path of health coaching for probably another several more months. So it's interesting that you said that it never occurred to me. I was like, you know, it actually did. That's the thing. I think the thing is, things occur to us more often than we give credit to, but it's just a matter of, did we feel like we were ready? And at the time, ready meant, did I feel like I was qualified? And that is often the time when we sabotage ourselves, because I feel like we are the worst reviewers of our own qualifications because we are our worst critics.
I my husband's always saying, no, everybody doesn't know that, Peggy, you have to teach them. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know if I'm good enough. And he's like, but nobody knows what you know, so yeah, you can. And it is, it's hard because the things that we're really good at, we do it just naturally. Like we don't, it's not hard for us. So we think, well, you know, I always want to be better. I'm never good enough. Mm-hmm. Like I'm always striving to be better. So I'm like, well, I'm not to where I want to be. So how could I help someone? And it's like, yeah, but I'm 30 steps ahead of the other person. So I could help them get to this point or, you know, things like that. We need to realize that, oh no, we have a lot to offer. So that's
absolutely. Funny. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So why do you think it's important for businesses to really understand their brand and their brand story and build, you know, if they want to build their dream business, their dream photography business, why is knowing their vision and their story so important?
Well, the vision is the keystone of the future, that you're trying to create. So there's no way you're going to be able to know where to go if your vision is very unclear. Could you imagine when sailors would go out on sea and they would just be at sea for days, weeks, months, years? You know, usually, you know, one, it was for the love of the sea, but the other part of it was that they were searching for something. They had the intention of finding new worlds, new lands. When you think about that, it's like, well, that's what helped them to hold on to whatever they were pursuing. And so when you think about your vision for your brand and your business, you know, when the vision, I find that when the vision is unclear, that's when more confusion happens. And that's when, you know, inconsistency in how you present your brand, inconsistency with the messaging, inconsistency with your action steps to grow your brand occurs. Like everything has to do with the vision. So I find that even for myself, when my vision gets unclear, or when I get unclear, period, I often have to go back to the vision and be like, oh, okay, wait. What did I write down again? I'm often having to piece together pieces from 20 different notebooks because I write in notebooks all the time. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I came up with. And I already came up with the idea. And okay, yeah, that's a cool word of wisdom from myself from way back when. Okay, so now I remember. Now I remember. I forgot my vision for a second. Now I remember what I'm doing. And so when you are clear about your vision, you're able to move forward, but also your audience is able to move forward with you because they know what you're all about. They know what you stand for. They don't have to question that. It's very clear. And they can make an easy decision to come along with you for the ride or to just stay put.
I know just yesterday I had a ton of busy work to do. You know what I mean? And it just seemed like things were coming up from every direction and I was busy all day, but at the end of the day, I felt like I hadn't accomplished anything. And I was like, okay, stop. What do I need to get done this week? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's mm-hmm. a really small scale, but even those things, like when we lose vision, when we just get sidetracked with all the other things, then we, even though we may be busy and even though we may be making money, are we pushing our career into the direction that we want it to be? Mm-hmm. And I think that it's easy to do. It's easy to just life. It's easy to just like, oh, you know, I got to pay the bills. I got to do this. And, you know, all of those things obviously are important, but you have to do that with the insight of where you're headed so that you may take a little sidetrack, a little, you know, a little detour here and there, but you're still moving in the right direction, even though, you know, you went over here, you still know where you're going. And I think that, that you're really good at pulling that out of people. I know that just talking to you sometimes I'm like, oh, just having a conversation with you, I have these, like, I knew that. How come I didn't say that? And it's like, well, I guess I did, but I had to hear myself say it to Amy.
It reminds me how, you know, oftentimes we are mirrors for each other. Everyone is a mirror for each other reflecting back. And so even though you may know something, it's like stuck in your head. And of course, it's just going to cycle around in there, kind of like a smoothie. Almost, but then the moment you tell someone like me or someone else that you really trust, you're like, oh, shoot, that's what it was. I think it's the difference between like having a smoothie in your brain with a bunch of ingredients mixed together so you can't tell what's in it versus like, you know, you say it out loud like, oh, that's blueberry. Oh, that's strawberry. Like, oh, that's a banana. Like, maybe that's a weird visual.
No, I used to hide kale, and that's the only way I could get my youngest to eat vegetables for many years is like to sneak kale in a smoothie.
Yeah, you kind of have to, I get it. Yep, I'm about to do that too with spinach.
But it's true, because when it's all mixed together, you're like, oh, it's just, you know, and then you have to like stop and go, okay, now what about this? Okay, where am I going with this? Where am I going with this? And, you know, identifying it and keeping on that path instead of just being in that whirlwind of the mixer.
Yes, because it is a whirlwind within ourselves so many times. I feel like there's when you have so many dreams and you have a huge dream that's connected to all these little itty bitty dreams, like it's a storm inside of us. I think any entrepreneur who has ever been in this journey, like knows like about that storm that just like, it takes you here or there. And then for one moment, everything is nice and calm. The sky is clear. The sun is shining. And the next thing is like, oh, turmoil. I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
Yeah. And when you don't like this program that I'm doing, this community, Time Benders, my ultimate vision was to have a community of photographers that could support each other and learn together. And originally I thought, okay, well, when I get some photographers through my program, then we'll build the community. And I was talking to another marketing person and they were like, no, you build the community first. And I was like, huh? Like I couldn't see it in all the dreams. Like I couldn't see that working. And then once it, like you sit down and you write it out, you're like, oh, well, yeah, duh. That makes way more sense. Like build the community, grow the community, and, you know, let everybody, you know, build community and help each other and learn from each other. And then you're already moving forward. You're on that trajectory of success where your vision's going. But it's so easy to not take the time. And I think that's, my key tip would be take the time to really take a breath and really know where you're going and put steps out there, how you're going to get there. But what's one tip you would give our listeners?
The one tip I have, I probably already said this in a different way, but just that if you find yourself waffling in your vision and your brand, your business, chances are there's something inside that's waffling as opposed to looking outside of yourself. So when that happens, you know, that's the time to go journal. That's the time to go ask yourself, what is it that I really want? And just kind of go back to that main point. And here's like a little bonus tip that when you go journal, I know people say journaling as like the general solution, but when I mean journaling, I don't actually mean like now you have to sit there and stare at a blank piece of paper and come up with a solution and think about it really hard. Like, no, what I'm actually saying is that when you go journal, you allow whatever answer comes out of your pen and paper or pencil to come out. And that's exactly what you need to hear. If you're trying to piece together the answer before you write it down, it's not the answer. You got to just like let yourself write and see what comes out, because chances are that's what you've been trying to tell yourself the entire time. So sorry, that was a few different.
No, that was good. And I think you should say that again, because if you're we need to hear that again. If you're trying to say the answer, but it's not, say that again, because that was really good.
If you're sitting there with your pen or pencil and your paper, and you're like, just it's a blank piece of paper, and you're sitting there trying to figure out what the answer is before writing anything down, that's not the answer. Chances are, if you're just like, oh, what do I write? It's like, well, if you're asking that, then you're doing it wrong. So basically allow yourself to even write down the question of what do I really want? And then, you know, then just start off with like, I want, and then let your hand do the rest of it. Because that's what you actually need to hear.
I love that. I love that. And my husband and I have started a practice about a month ago now. Every morning, before we start our day, I bought these really cool little matching journal books, little leather bound, but we write down, like I am thankful for, and we each write down 10 things in our own book. And then, we write down like what our focus for the day is. Like, I want to focus on compassion. I want to focus on self-care. I want to focus on, you know, maybe somebody's been not nice to me. I want to focus on sending love their way, you know, whatever it is. And we write down several things we want to focus on. But I like, because when you just give yourself a prompt and just allow yourself to just write, things come out that I'm like, I never thought of that. Like, of course I'm thankful for that, but I've never expressed thanks for that. And that's like, things come out that you don't express. So I like that, just writing down like I want, and just let it come out, because we always know the answers. We just don't always know the questions to ask. That's the way I think.
Ooh, that's a mic drop. We know the answer. We just don't know the questions to ask. Say it again, Peggy.
Yes. You know, I'm a big question asker, because I think if you ask enough questions, like, then you'll remind yourself that, oh, I know that. I know that. I know this. I know this.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yep. No, we have the answers within. How I like to say is that we have the answers within, and your story is often a map, to show you where to go. So it's a matter of, so it's a matter of looking at your story as a map, and also understanding that the answers are within. So then that's really the crux of the vision. Like, just staying clear on the vision, creating the vision, and also just like remembering what it is in the first place. So just remember your story and your inner guidance.
Oh, wow. Amy, you dropped some nuggets today. That was really good. So in the description, I'm going to have a link where they can get a hold of you, because I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to work with you. And you also have a podcast that people can listen to, Milk Crate. I don't know the name of your podcast, but it's something to do with Milk Crate.
The Milk Crate Mastermind Podcast.
There you go. See, I was close. I had one word right. But yes, if you follow this podcast, make sure you also follow Amy, and jump on. She has a workshop that you can just get up and just kind of work through it out loud in front of other people, and say, sometimes it's just about saying things out loud.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes it's just a matter of being in a safe container where you can be given prompts and say things out loud, and you're like, oh shoot, that's what I was trying to figure out. Okay, all right. Cut it out.
I'm the type of person that needs those prompts. I have tons of things just scrambling around in here, and I need somebody to like reach in and pull it out. Like, oh yeah, it's right there. I knew that.
Yeah.
You do provide a very safe container. I like that you said that. A safe container, because like, I can say something that's like, is that going to sound dumb? Well, it could be said differently, Peggy, but I'm not going to. It's never a non-safe environment. So anyway, but yeah, in the description is how you can get a hold of Amy. And Amy, thank you so much. This was so much fun. Aww.
Thank you. This is always a pleasure to speak with you, Peggy. I think one day we're gonna have to work on a project together, and you know, I mean, we have already worked together, but I think like on a greater scale. Perhaps next time I go to LA and be like, hey Peggy, so let's bring
whiteboard. if anybody is listening to this, it's also in my program, the certification program. Amy is one of the guest instructors that has an amazing assignment for you. So yes, Amy is all over the place here, and she'll be back on the podcast.
I will be.
Yay. You see how I just like roped you into that? You'll be back.
I love it. No, please have me back.